Up next on Cityscape, big doings this weekend at the St. Louis Art Museum. A major exhibition opens, celebrating the drawings and paintings of a man known as Missouri's artist, George Caleb Bingham, who lived from 1811 to 1879 and is best known for his paintings of life on and along the Mississippi and Missouri rivers. With us to talk about Bingham and the exhibition is Melissa Wolf, the curator of American art at the St. Louis Art Museum. And Melissa, welcome. Thanks for being on Cityscape. Appreciate
it. Thank you. This is great to be here.
To start, tell us about George Caleb Bingham.
Well, he was known as the Missouri artist, and for good reason. He grew up here. He moved here when he was 8 with his family along the Missouri River near Arrow Rock, and began painting very early on, began painting portraits, sort of taught himself. But he really sort of struck his moment, struck his golden era with the river paintings. And I think what many people will realize when they come to the show is that this is really Bingham at his best. It's Bingham at the most beautiful. The river paintings clearly are created by a man who knew the river well.
He had no formal training as an artist?
Not really. He had met Chester Harding, who at the time was probably one of the better portrait painters in the United States. And Harding had come out to Missouri to paint Daniel Boone. To paint a portrait of Daniel Boone, and Bingham met up with him and realized that you could be a painter.
And so he started painting portraits.
It's a very tried and true American tradition.
Make a living.
That's right.
I can make a little money doing this.
$20 a head.
Oh, wow. About the way he painted, his use of drawings and sketches and all that kind of thing, mm-hmm. in this wonderful book, Navigating the West, George Caleb Bingham in the River, there's a lot of talk about how he went about his work. Mm-hmm. How did he paint?
Well, part of this comes out of him being mostly self-taught. He did go east, and he went to the Pennsylvania Academy of the Fine Arts. He thought maybe he'd take some classes there. And then he realized that he could probably get ahead, you know, figuring this out on his own. There were a number of books, sort of early prototype how-to-draw manuals that mm-hmm. we sort of think of now. But they were method books, so they might show you how to create a head in the right proportions or to create certain expressions. And so he really followed that, and he created a series of drawings. This is not an unknown process. A number of artists work this way, that were really his go-to portfolio. And the show highlights this process of, you know, starting with these drawings. There are about 50 drawings in the show, so that's really a big component of the show. And what Bingham would often do was he would create these figures, these river types, these river characters. And, you know, some are leaning back, some are standing, some are sitting. And then he sort of would rearrange them around a composition. And many of these drawings we actually have displayed double-sided, you know, in double-sided frames, so you can see how he would work. So he would create a drawing. He would use something akin to carbon paper and place it actually on the canvas. And we know this process because, you know, conservation has taken huge leaps and bounds technologically in terms of the technology that conservators have at their disposal. And so one of the techniques that we now use is a way of photographing canvases so you can sort of peel off that paint layer.
And see what's underneath
the paint.
See what's
under it. Yeah, you can see what we call the underdrawing. And so we have done a whole series of using this conservation technique. And so we know what the underdrawings are. We know that he actually placed these drawings, you know, this portfolio that he'd created onto the canvas. There's register marks, you know, where he'd hold them. He'd put a carbon paper underneath it, and then he would draw, you know, around the outlines. Now, mm-hmm. he could also draw, you know, he would also often hold it up to the light and draw on the back side of the paper so he could reverse the figure. So, and then once it was on the canvas, once the drawing, then he would change it around. He might change the expression of the figure or put a hat on them or change their hair or actually even once the figures were sort of situated, he could simplify the composition or move it around a little bit. So he really – this was his process for the figures, and we know this very clearly. However, for the landscapes or the riverscapes, I guess I should say, we know that he also had those in his head. You know, those are – there's no sort of elaborate underdrawings for that. So that he's really painting from his own knowledge. from his own memory of life on the river.
Talking with Melissa Wolf, the curator of American art at the St. Louis Art Museum, about the George Caleb Bingham exhibition, which opens this weekend. Now, these drawings aren't just sort of sketches of no use or value, and there's a wonderful backstory about how these were almost all sold off.
There's a fabulous backstory. The drawings were very important to Bingham, and he kept them with him. I mean, they were really his portfolio. They were his toolkit, one might say. Later, he sold them to one of his patrons, who then gave them to the Mercantile Library. And in the 1970s, the Mercantile Library, and we find this with many libraries, you know, your focus is different, right? And your mission becomes very specific. And that's for good reason. The Mercantile Library was going to sell the collection to raise funds. And there was a group who discovered this, and they created what is now known as the Bingham Trust. And they canvassed the state. Kit Bond, former senator and governor, Kit Bond, Charlie Valier, and a number of other people sort of led this campaign to save the drawings. And they did. They raised into the millions, actually, to buy the drawings. They put them into trust for the people of Missouri. And so they are held there, never to be separated.
And where are they? Are the drawings now? Are they at the Mercantile still, or are they at the Art Museum?
The drawings are held. They're deposited at both the Nelson Atkins and at the St. Louis Art Museum. But they are owned by the people of Missouri.
I was somewhat stunned to find out that a judge somehow set a price on these drawings of $1,800,000.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's some valuable sketches right there. Wow.
Particularly in the late 70s. Yeah, and it's a large group, and they're so rare. You know, they're created from the 1840s and 1830s as a, you know, you can even see, even in the show, it was interesting. I was going through with Mr. Valier, and you can see, you know, the thumbprint of the artist because he's painting while he's using these. These really were a toolkit. And one of the things I think why people feel an affinity for drawings is because you really get the sense of the artist and that artist making decisions and
working on this piece, creating it a bit at a time,
and changing the drawing and the effect of his hand on paper.
Talk about his paintings a little bit. Many people, I'm sure, have seen some of his more famous works, and I was struck by how idealized his subjects are, how clean and beautiful. You're thinking river rats, you know, crusty, scuzzy old guys working the rivers. That's not what he painted.
Well, it wasn't. And there's a very good reason for that. I mean, we all also know that Bingham was a politician. He was a very prominent Whig politician at the time. But, you know, you can be a politician in many ways, not necessarily explicitly. And I think he definitely had a very specific agenda as the Missouri artist, as an artist who identified themselves as a Westerner.
And what was that agenda?
Well, he wanted to convince the East that the West was legitimate. And so – and actually, there's a wonderful room in the exhibition where we look at how riverboatmen were depicted, how the West was depicted. And it's very, as you say, crusty. They were half alligator, half horse. They were criminals. They were miscreants. They – you know, the river was scary and frightening and dangerous. And you know, on one hand, that sells paintings, right? You know, the sublime and the – you know, particularly to a group of people in the East who had never been to the Mississippi or
the
Missouri.
This was the Wild West, the frontier.
This was the Wild West. It was the frontier. What Bingham wanted to do, though, was to sell a West that you might invest in, that you might pass a federal bill to support and send money to, that was cultivated and that could, you know, he had an agenda to say, look, the West is equal to the East. And so he cleaned up the figures. And in fact, when you look closely at these paintings, what you realize is that you are put on eye level with those river boatmen. And they're very inviting. You know, they're kind of collegial fellows, right?
Dancing and playing cards.
Yeah,
and just
you know, you'd kind of hang out with them.
Jolly boatmen.
But they're very inviting. You know, the circle doesn't exclude the viewer, and you're put on the eye level with them, and they're made as equals to you. They're not figures that you're sort of looking at and pointing your finger and laughing, right? And you are kind of made to be a river boatman. And so when these paintings were shipped east, and they were, he's selling the West to an Eastern audience, and he's selling it as a way of talking about the West as civilized and legitimate.
Was he a successful artist in his time?
Very successful. And a lot of that is due, and we talk about this in the exhibition, to the American Art Union, which began in the 1840s. And the American Art Union sort of had two goals. One was to help support American artists. And, you know, Lord knows we still try to do that. Don't, I mean, that is an ongoing story. But also to create an art community, to create an art world. And so for $5 a year, you could become an American Art Union member. And why you might join is because once a year, there would be an actual painting. There would be an exhibition in New York, and the art union would select one of those paintings, and there was a lottery, and you might win an actual painting. And in fact, we know Bingham paintings went to Georgia. They went to, you know, you could, so major American paintings and artists went to whomever they, you know, that number was drawn. The other thing, though, that made Bingham's reputation is that if you didn't win the painting, what you were assured of for your $5 membership was a print. And at the time that Bingham was painting, there were close to 10,000 members. So there was a print of Bingham's paintings, and Bingham was, you know, his paintings were sold through the American Art Union several times, so not just one. And so everybody across the country and into Canada and down into Mexico and had a Bingham print and knew this Bingham painting, and also the art critics in New York then knew Bingham.
We have just a couple of minutes, Melissa. Tell us about what we'll see at the museum with this exhibition. What do you have there for us?
Well, we have some great things. So the paintings.
How many?
There are about 30 or so paintings, some of his major, major pieces, For Traders Descending the Missouri, which is sort of one of the masterpieces, all of the Jolly Flatboatman paintings. So you'll see that. You'll see the drawings. And actually, one of the parts that we put together, not necessarily as part of the show, but in conjunction with the show, is that we commissioned a series of videos. And we look at the Missouri and the Mississippi now, life on the river now in contemporary times, and how are people, you know, engaging in that. So we talk to a river boatman and artists who collect works along objects along the rivers for their artwork. We talk to conservationists and blues singers. And so there are these series of videos, which actually are also online. If you go to slam.org/Bingham, you can find the videos.
And what about this book, Navigating the West, George Caleb Bingham and the River? It's a beautiful art book.
It's a beautiful book. Buy it for a Christmas gift.
It is available at the show.
It is available at the museum, absolutely. And it's there are a number of essays that look at this new conservation and the new things that we can know about Bingham from that. There's a really wonderful essay by one of the co-curators on rethinking Bingham and how he sold these objects to the East and these paintings and how he sort of went about doing that. And in fact, how congenial those figures are as opposed to being alligators.
Well, it's been a pleasure. It's going to be a good weekend in the long run. How long will the exhibition run?
The exhibition will run into May.
Oh, all right. So we all have plenty of time. No excuses from anybody.
No excuses.
Get down there and see it. You can find all the details at the St. Louis Art Museum website, or you can go to our website and get information there. Melissa Wolf, thanks very much for being with us on
Cityscape.
Thank you.
This was a pleasure. Lovely.
Coming up after a break, bluegrass, country, gospel, and folk musician Ricky Skaggs. This is St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.